Today we have a very special guest host, one of my favorite Marvel characters, and star of the new motion picture, Guardians of the Galaxy. He is Groot.
I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot.
Okay, maybe that's not such a good idea. What he was trying to say is that this is episode 362 of the Fantastic Forecast. However, I am not Groot. So in every episode of the Fantastic Forecast, I'll be discussing a different issue of the Fantastic Four. Today, Fantastic Four 362 from March 1992. Here Comes the Wild Blood by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. So a caption at the start of the issue says, "Join us as the FF discover a dynamic, unexplored universe and battle a startling new foe." Okay, at least they didn't call the new foe dynamic, because that would be a lie. Startling, however, whatever. The story begins in Reed's lab, where Reed is wearing some kind of contraption on his head and arms, and apparently this allows him to stick his arm through a wooden door. Sue walks in and she's surprised, and she blurts out, "Reed, what on earth?" And we see that on the other side, Reed's hand is gone, like it's gone in one side of the wooden door, but isn't coming out of the other side. He calmly asks if breakfast is ready. She tells him that breakfast has been ready for an hour, and Reed explains that this device allows him to journey into solid objects. Sue doesn't seem interested. I think she'd rather have solid objects journeying into her. She says that their son would prefer a trip to Disney World. Sure, most young boys love to take trips inside pieces of wood, but they like Disney World even more. So next, we see this so-called dynamic, unexplored universe that exists inside the wooden door, I guess? And there's this big walled city, and outside the walls is this mercenary thief, and he seems to be up to no good. He notices that he sees no sign of the city's guard, and he's taken aback, when suddenly a white-gloved hand, Reed's hand, pops up out of this glowing dimensional doorway. "Blasted hog!" he exclaims in surprise. He's not sure what it is. He thinks that maybe it's the work of the Gem Guild, but whatever it is, he whips out this metal staff with a couple of blades on it, and he's gonna chop it, but Reed pulls his hand away just in time. The creature yells out, "Show yourself, you perverted abnormality," my old college nickname. "Heed the challenge of the wild blood." Back in Reed's lab, Sue asks,
"I trust you didn't start this experiment by sticking your arm into an unknown dimension."
He replies, "Of course not. I've been working up to it for months." I assume he's probably lying. Sue whips out a copy of that day's Daily Bugle and points out the celebrity rumor column, which has an item about Alicia getting a divorce from Johnny and rekindling her relationship with Ben Grimm. She says it makes everything sound so sordid, but we could only wish it were that sordid. The reality is, the story isn't very interesting, and Reed says they should keep that scroll business a secret. Reed asks where Johnny is, and Sue says he's gone off to enroll in Empire State University to take a few classes, and she's pleased that he's elected to continue his education. Yeah. Like, that is why he's going back to college. He's single and ready to mingle. He's ready to bang as many co-eds as possible now that he's a free man again. Meanwhile, Spider-Man is hanging out on the side of a building reading the same item in the Daily Bugle. Is this really how Peter Parker reads his newspaper? He puts on his Spider-Man outfit and hangs upside down on a building ledge? He seems surprised by the news of Johnny's divorce. "The guy, poor guy, must be devastated," he says. "I know, I'd be a total basket case if Mary Jane ever dumped me." A basket case? He made a special deal with the devil to get out of that marriage, and afterwards, he seemed as happy as a clam. So he swings off to ESU to register for his classes, and he finds part of the Fantastic Car parked out front. Inside, Johnny is chatting with the dean, and Johnny's wearing one of those snazzy blue jackets over his uniform. I really like those. It reminds me of a members-only jacket. The dean seems happy that Johnny's coming back to school and asks Johnny for an autograph for his wife. And he says his wife is a big fan. Later outside, Johnny is greeted by a mass of adoring females, and he thinks to himself, I'd almost forgotten the fringe benefits that come with being publicly known and unattached. Oh, I think he remembered that before he decided to go back to school. Suddenly, the girls start freaking out. Over at the Fantastic Car, there seems to be this big black bat floating over the vehicle. Johnny tries to punch it, but the big black bat turns into a big mess of spider webs. He looks up and he sees Spider-Man standing in a nearby tree. Johnny gets pissed off and flames on, and he chases after Spider-Man. An onlooker shouts out, Wow, this is even better than Super Nintendo! I love the topical reference. And for the record, nothing is better than Super Nintendo. Nothing! So Johnny's tossing fireballs at Spider-Man, who says he's sorry to hear about Johnny's troubles. Spidey tosses some crap back at Johnny, who burns it all to pieces. Spider-Man lands on a roof and says he'd like to talk about Alicia, but Johnny keeps shooting flames at Spider-Man. While they fight, and this is the most pointless superhero fight ever, at least until Civil War, while they fight, Johnny reveals that his Alicia was a Skrull. A flame almost hits Spider-Man, who yells out, Ah! You got me! And now suddenly, Johnny is worried that he actually hit Spider-Man, but he goes around the corner and he gets tangled in a big web. Back at FF headquarters, Franklin Richards is yawning. He must be reading this issue too. No, he's just watching his dad working in the lab. He says he'd rather be playing Super Genesis. So much for being a boy genius. What kid his age in 1992 wouldn't know the difference between Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo? Super Genesis, my ass. Reed finishes the adjustments to his dimension-traveling contraption, and he sticks his head back into the wooden door. Back in the wooden door dimension. Gee, I wonder why this never caught on like the Negative Zone. That thug, Wild Blood, is now being attacked by the city's guards. Several dudes on large flying winged creatures, they're shooting lasers down at Wild Blood. He sees Reed's arm poke back into his dimension, so he leaps over and grabs it, much to Reed's surprise. You should never stick your arm in places that it doesn't belong. I learned that lesson back in my Mexican prison days. When Reed pulls his arm back, he pulls Wild Blood into his dimension. So Wild Blood pops out of that wooden door, yelling something in a language that Reed doesn't understand. So he switches on the universal translator in his suit so he can understand this hairy dude hanging onto his arm. Reed tries to tell him that he means him no harm, but Wild Blood replies, Only a fool believes the lies of the Gym Guild. Your death will only add to my glory. Reed realizes that this invader has mistaken him for an enemy from his home world. Ben tries to attack him, and they trade punches for a bit. Wild Blood jumps away, and he says, I sense a gym talent in this chamber. And he thinks his so-called gym talent, whatever that is coming from the kid, Franklin. Reed tells Sue to take Franklin to safety. The Thing swings his big metal column at Wild Blood but misses. WB zaps Ben with a laser from his staff and sends Ben flying through the wall. Meanwhile, Johnny is still chasing Spider-Man around the city and tossing fireballs at him. How the hell does Johnny not burn down half the city throwing these fireballs everywhere? Johnny tells Spidey that contrary to what is said in the Daily Bugle, Ben and he are pals, they're family. Johnny hits a water tower, he smashes it, and water spills out and douses his flames, and he falls to the roof, and he seems to think this is all pretty funny. But I guess the guy in the apartment below, who's going to have his apartment flooded and ruined, won't think it's so funny, and the people who've lost all their water won't be laughing. But fuck them! Johnny is a selfish prick who's endangering the entire city, tossing flames everywhere, causing thousands of dollars in property damage. He is a menace. So Johnny and Spidey suddenly seem all buddy-buddy. Johnny asks, So, who's going to pay for all this property damage? And Spider-Man replies, Not me! This has always been one thing that really bugs me about the Fantastic Four. They cause all this property damage, quite often for no reason. But because they're rich, they figure, it's okay, they'll just pay to fix it. But it never occurs to them that the huge inconvenience they're causing to these other people. So back at FF headquarters, Reed is chasing after Wild Blood, who runs right smack dab into an invisible wall. Shouldn't this fight have ended several pages ago? When Wild Blood showed up, Sue should have immediately surrounded him with a force field. Back in the other dimension, the city guards have figured out that Wild Blood has escaped to some other dimension, and they have a device that will allow them to reopen that portal. Back with Wild Blood, he's still yammering something about the Gym Guild. Ooh, the Gym Guild. That doesn't exactly sound like a scary organization. Reed runs a scan on WB and learns that he's pretty close to being a human, only he's really, really hairy. Ben says they should just toss him back into his own dimension and call it a day. Reed says he wants to study him instead. But Ben, he just wants lunch. But in that wooden door behind them, a portal starts to reopen. Later, Johnny arrives home and finds that the emergency alarm has gone off. He arrives at the lab and finds Ben and Reed waking up from being knocked out, and Sue and Franklin are gone. Reed looks at the wooden door and explains to Johnny that they were kidnapped and taken into the Inniverse. Yeah, he's calling it the Inniverse. I prefer to call it the Wooden Doorverse, but that is where this story comes to an end, to be continued next time. And that's it for today. You can download other episodes of iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. You can join the Facebook page at PodcastFF. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Yeah.